This is the World Wrestling Resource Conference Call with Coach Terry Brands from the University of Iowa. These calls are sponsored by Defense Soap. Terry, just going over the season, evaluating, it looks like you guys had 6 NCAA All-Americans, 3 finalists, a 3rd, 5th, and 7th. What is your evaluation of the season and where you're looking to take your team next year?
I think coming out of the you know, the philosophy and what we're after year, it's a disappointment where we finished. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're disappointed in our guys personally or attacking them personally, but just disappointed in maybe the way that we fell short at several weight classes and maybe not capturing as many points at the NCAA tournament that we felt and as an entire team that we felt we had the opportunity to gain. So, you know, any time that we're not on the top stand, and even many times when we are on the top stand, we're evaluating and looking at things where, you know, we recognize that we're leaving a lot of points out there that we should be capturing.
Heading down to the, you know, between, you know, 30 days out of the NCAA tournament, I know Coach Gable has that periodization training program to peak his guys. How much do you guys use the similar system that Gable used to peak his wrestlers for the NCAA tournament? Is it pretty similar?
I think the way that, number one, the way that I was raised in the sport and the way that my high school coach, Galen Nelson, prepared our team was similar in the fact that, you know, we had high-intensity workouts. The closer you got to the main event, which happened to be the state tournament when you're in high school, the more intense and the shorter maybe the workouts got, but not short enough to where the toughness and the mental aspect of the sport was left out. So, you know, that along with the fact that, you know, you were around or that we were around Gable for 13 years or whatever it was, 1987 to 2000, and watching him and being trained by him for 5 of those years, you learn kind of to see, you know, where the holes are in the peak, where the valleys are, what's going on. You know what, and from my perspective even, I've kind of tailored it to where there really isn't a peak. There's a high point, but it's more of a jumping off point where, you know, each and every tournament that you go to, for example, the Big Tens is the highest peak of the year, so that's not really a peak. It's just a place where you're jumping off to get to the next peak after that. It really doesn't end. Right now, after the NCAA tournament, there's a little bit of a downtime. But, you know, by the beginning of next year, we got to be back up and ready to be better than ever because of what Penn State's done.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about, just for coaches, too, from their standpoint, how important is it to be positive in the room as you get into the, you know, weeks leading up to the NCAA tournament? And how much do you talk to the guys about the outcome of, hey, we're going to win national titles versus the process of, you know, just wrestling hard in their matches? Talk a little bit about that outcome versus process and where you're at mentally the last week.
Well, outcome versus process is one and the same to us, or to me, I guess. I can't speak for the entire staff, but, you know, for me, and I think, you know, most of our people in our program, wrestlers, coaches, trainers, strength coaches, our director of ops, and even our secretary hears it all the time. And, you know, when you talk about performing at a high level, you're performing at a high level to attain certain goals. And you can perform at a high level in a practice room and then go out on the mat and get your tail kicked. And that's not the intent of competition. So, you know, you have to have results that are backed, you know, by your work ethic, or that are pushed by your work ethic, by your values, by the way you carry your lifestyle, by the way that you do things in your life correct, whether it's, you know, eating, sleeping, how you're rehydrating your body, how you're moving forward throughout the day as you're thinking about, you know, the next event that you're going to compete in, and which would mean that you're getting ready for each and every practice with the, you know, the highest amount of energy that you can pour into it. So, you can have a guy, I'll take a guy like Ethan Lofthaus, who has a tremendous natural ability or tremendous natural strength, and then fall short in the competition arena. There's something there that we're missing. There was something there that we missed with Mike Evans. There's just no way that a guy like him shouldn't be contending championship, even as a young freshman. So, there's things there that have to connect starting now or move forward for next season.
Okay. Well, you guys always seem to get your guys peeking and ready, especially every year, last year, particularly over Christmas break after that Midlands run, your guys really stepped it up. Without giving away all your secrets, but what are you doing, after that Christmas break, that Midlands, to make a jump? Because I know you guys train pretty hard at that time, and how important is that for you every year, that 2-week cycle there?
Well, first of all, there aren't any secrets. I don't think that we have secrets. I think that we have a philosophy that we need to get more of our people in this program, believing in themselves through that philosophy. And, I could go into that in more detail also. But, you hit it earlier, the question prior to this one, when you talked about how positive are you in the room when you're communicating with your wrestlers and your student athletes. And, the bottom line is you're very positive, but you also hold them accountable. And with this culture of, technology, and you don't even have to talk to people anymore. There's very little face-to-face communication. A lot of it's done text. A lot of it's done, via email, with these student athletes, with their professors, with their parents, with their friends, so that when you get them in the room and you talk to them man-to-man and face-to-face, it's kind of a culture shock to them. There has to be a great relationship, number one. And then there has to be an understanding that when you communicate to them, that it is in their best interest. And when you can get that connection going, that's when the training camps and all the work and the hours spent in the room and the outside hours spent preparing for those practices, that's when everything will start to come together. And, that phase, after the Midlands and prior to Oklahoma State is very, very important because, you have time. There's not any class work going on. You don't have to be in class. There's no tests. There's no finals. There's no distractions from a school point of view that are going on that can take away from your training. So there's really no excuses. And with that comes a very high commitment level that you need back from those student athletes. And sometimes that's where the disconnect is. If we're not getting out of them what we feel like they can be given, and we communicate that to them and they take that as a personal attack on them personally, then it becomes a problem. Now we have to go back to square one, build that relationship, and then ultimately get to where we can communicate with them man to man and hold them accountable and talk to them like men are supposed to talk to men.
That's great. And how much are, I know you're a strong Christian, but how much do you share that with your wrestlers? And how it looks like Matt McDonough, you got quite a few Christians on your team. How much do you guys talk about that, or talk about that a little
bit? Well, biblical principles are timeless, and those principles are embedded in our program. A lot of the things that you do as a wrestler are biblical principles, whether you're a Christian or not. I mean, that's not, you can't even deny that. So it's there, it's present. And, we talk about it, it's not something that's rammed down their throats, but the option is there. And the importance of, exploring that option is communicated too. And then, ultimately we have a, AIA guy, Jim Goodrich, who comes around weekly, and if guys want to meet and learn about Jesus and learn about the Bible and explore, what Christianity is as an infant Christian or as a mature Christian, where we have Bible studies that meet twice a week. So, it is a integral part of the program as far as timeless principles that are embedded in the program, but also, you know, from my perspective as a coach going forward, you know, there isn't a separation there. I mean, the values that I coach and arm myself and equip myself with, and that the values that I communicate to my people, my student athletes, are all based around the toughness and the meekness, which people think meek is weak, but meek is picture a bridled horse. That's a picture of meekness. And being able to bring that love and that communication and that tough love, and being able to talk to people, as I said earlier, man to man, and not having them get their feelings hurt and calling mommy and daddy, and, you know, having them grow up and become mature. You know, those are all part of leaving the nest as young freshmen coming into the program. And, you know, those are biblical principles that are undeniable.
Mm-hmm. I think I've heard you say that harnessed horse meekness story. Are you kind of simulating that as, hey, being coachable? If a horse follows its harness and it follows the leader, it's going to reach its goal faster. So it's maybe a meekness in terms of willingness to learn and be coachable to get to the direction quicker they want to go for the goals. Is that kind of what you mean by that?
That's part of it, but also being able to go even beyond that. Picture a guy like McDonough who goes even beyond that, where now he's a leader amongst leaders, you know, kind of like the disciples. You know, there really wasn't a hierarchy, but there were leaders among leaders. You know, and you know, so it's kind of that situation where McDonough is a leader among leaders. Maybe Ramos is a great leader. Maybe Denny Wagner was a great leader. Maybe Bob Telford was a great young leader, but really McDonough's a leader among leaders. That doesn't mean that those other guys are, you know, below him hierarchy wise, but what it does mean is that now, not just being coachable and not just listening and doing what you're told, but doing what you're told and listening and being coachable, but also being able to take it to a whole nother level where you're starting to be, self-driven, self-motivated. Because ultimately, national championships at the individual level are won away from the structured workouts. Everybody goes through the structured workouts. And, you know, a guy like David Taylor and Edwin Ruth, you know, my suspicion would be that they are just unbelievably driven and motivated people, where they're getting a lot out of themselves day in and day out, whether the coaches are there or not. And that's kind of where, you know, back in the during the Medcalf era, or, you know, back when I wrestled back in the era where me and Tom and Steiners and Osendorf and Chad Zapital and, you know, Stryker and Chelsvig and Ryland and Tom Ryan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and Travis Fizer were in the lineup, you know, you just had a lot of self-driven people where it wasn't just about them being coachable and doing what they were told and doing the right things. They were doing the right things above and beyond what the structure of the room was about.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, it seems like that's kind of a niche in the program, is to develop leaders and self-driven. Even when you're coaching, you can kind of tell that most of the preparation is done in advance and you want those guys to lead. Do you feel like that's part of you're trying to teach that before even the competition season? Do you think you can teach guys, not necessarily to be motivated? I know Gable said sometimes you can't motivate a guy, but how to trust himself and lead himself, to be self-driven and exceed your expectations. Can you coach?
Well, I don't see it as separated again. It's not during the off season we get them to do that, and then during the in season, then, you know, we winded them up enough, and now they just walk, and hopefully we wound them up good enough so that they can get through the season. I don't see it like that. I see it as a continuing, ever-developing, day-by-day process that never stops, whether the guy's in the lineup or whether he's fifth string, whether he's a returning two-time national champion or whether he's fifth string, 149-pounder, it doesn't matter. you're developing people in your program to go forward and ultimately, you know, be positive contributors to society, and, you know, extensions of the program that are number one, extremely visible, and then number two, they have that love of life, and they display that, and people look at them, and they realize, wow, what's different about these people? You know, this guy is so vibrant. And he was an Iowa wrestler, and they, yeah, that makes sense. I heard about that program, and, you know, and people are willing, coming out of this program and part of this program, they're willing to talk to people and not be arrogant, not be cocky, and not be aloof, and not be untouchable. You know, they're normal, everyday people that are just doing abnormal things all the time and achieving abnormal things because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed, like, when I was at the Hawkeye Club in the strength training program, it seemed like you and your brother and the Steiners and McRaven, I mean, a lot of guys on the lifting seemed like it was self-driven, like you'd get your workout in knowing you needed it. And Gable seemed to be kind of big on rope climbs and wrestling functional training, but what do you think things have changed in wrestling that you have to lift in a different manner in a little more organized fashion year-round as opposed to maybe when you guys were competing?
I don't see it as all different. It was a year-round 12-month system then, and it's a 12-month system now. Right now we're in our greatest strength building period and our lowest peaking period, or, you know, wrestling peaking period, because we just got done with the NCAA tournament. And that's not for everybody in the program, because, you know, you got freestyle events coming up and this and that. So, you know, when we talk about a low peak, you're still talking about guys that got done wrestling, Ramos and Lofthouse and those guys that maybe aren't going to be going to the trials, but, you know, they have they're still in the room, they're still coming in, and they're drilling on their own, and they're wrestling hard on their own two or three or four times a week, and they're in that weight room two or three or four times a week. And, you know, I think the difference is, again, I'll go back to the culture, the difference is that I don't know really why. I have speculation, but I don't really know why. You know, I could have my opinions, and maybe that's a time for or a place for another time to talk about. But you have these things and these distractions where back when if you want to use me as an example, when I was competing and I knew I had to lift, there wasn't anything that took the place of that lift. You know, I didn't miss it for anything. I didn't miss it for class. I didn't miss it for splitting wood. I didn't miss it for a meeting. I didn't miss it for if I was sick or whatever. I was making sure that I was taking care of my body from that point of view. And what I mean by that is I understood, and the guys of my era understood that if they needed a lift, they could draw up their own lift, and they could get one heck of a good lift in drawn up in their brain or on paper. Whereas now, you know, sometimes with maybe half our room, we have to draw a workout up and then bring it to them. And then they have a piece of paper where they just go in and push themselves through that lift based on what's written on the paper. That might be the biggest difference. And again, that to me is due to the culture, and that's where we need to do a better job of communicating what you were talking about earlier about motivation. Can you motivate a guy? Maybe Gable said that. I don't know if he did or not, but absolutely you can create motivation. You just have to get to learn to know that student athlete and learn what buttons to hit to get him to where he you know, is motivated to a level that where he's going to be after high level goals and ultimately contending for championships.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely seems like you guys had that desire, and you'd do whatever it takes, where some guys maybe if they're looking for an outside source, they're hoping coach can help them.
I know that not everybody's like Gable, and not everybody's like, you know, Ironside, and not everybody's like Tom Brands or whoever, and, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, God designed us all in special ways, and we all have special gifts that that if we really want to make a difference in society, there's something there. We just need to find it. And, you know, a guy like Matt McDonough or a guy like Tony Ramos, extremely driven people. So, you know, you just got to take a look at those guys. And, you know, we have, you know, the same kind of people that we had during the era of, you know, those years, or the years of Alger and the Kistler brothers and Heffernan and Barry Davis and those guys that were great Hawkeyes also, where, you know, before our class kind of made its mark, everybody was comparing, well, why aren't you guys like that? Why aren't you guys like that? You know, so we have people in the program that are very strong leaders and very strong workers. We just maybe don't have enough of them to where, you know, it's creating a culture here. And that's what Penn State and Cale have done a great job of building over there. And, you know, that's where, you know, a resource like the website that we've created is paramount to, you know, a young coach or a coach that's struggling to find meaning in his wrestlers, or getting his wrestlers to find meaning in life or meaning in their sport. You know, listening to interviews, listening to reports, studying freestyle wrestling, studying the Olympic trials system and how we go about selecting the Olympic team. What's going forward in the wrestling world, how Russia's doing, why did they fall off last year, and what are they going to be doing this year, and what made Jordan Burroughs a great champion this year, and is he going to be able to continue to be the reigning world champion as the reigning Olympic champion next time around, et cetera, et cetera. And all of that creates, when you learn that and you spend time in the sport of wrestling understanding and learning about that stuff, it makes you want to be around it. If you just come in and get a workout and then you're gone, you know, there's not enough invested in it. So it's easy to maybe not, you know, want to be a contender because, oh my gosh, I got to do this, this, and this to be a contender. And all these months and years that have piled up against you, it's very difficult to get motivated. So, you know, it's about spending time. It's about learning about yourself. It's about learning about the sport and the history of the sport, and studying a guy like John Smith and what he was about, and a guy like Dan Gable and what he was about. What made Cale come out of retirement after 7 years last year? You know, was it because of this or was it because of that? You know, just speculation. You don't have to get on a blog and make a brash statement and, you know, that type of thing, but you can form your own opinions in yourself and keep a log about your own ideas and learn about yourself through your own personal diaries that nobody ever has to know about. You know, I don't think that people knew or thought that I went around saying I was going to be an Olympic champion. I never proclaimed that ever to the outside world, unless Mike Chapman had me do it on a video one time where he said, I simply want to be the best wrestler in the world. Well, he wanted me to do that, so I said it. But, you know, I didn't proclaim that I was going to be an Olympic champion. And because I didn't accomplish that goal, does that mean that, you know, I didn't think about it enough? You know, I don't think so. So there's a lot there. There's a lot there that I just said, and a lot of it could be, you know, over the head of the audience. I hope not, and I, you know, forgive me if it is. But, you know, we spend so much time forming opinions and then wanting people to go our way, and there's a lot of haters out there, and those haters feed those websites and those blogs, and then you get the people that love you, they come back to defend the honor, and then the haters get more angry and the lovers get more angry, and there's just a big war, and it really doesn't mean anything, you know, moving forward. What means something is what's going on in the head of the coach, you know, what's going on in the heart of the coach, what's going on in the heart of his team, in the head of his team, and the knowledge that he's bringing to his team. What's going on in the each individual guy? Do they believe they're contenders? If they don't, why? What's holding them back? And that's where resources and articles and reports and this and that can make a major difference in your program.
Wow, that's good stuff, man. That's definitely a winning mindset. We'll be covering more interviews with you Obviously, you've got a lot of your technique clips on there and freestyle practice planners on there that you've written up. And getting ready for the Olympic trials coming up here in Iowa City. It sounds like there's over 10,000 tickets sold, and you know that's awesome for the sport of wrestling. And you got your guys training. How many Hawkeye Club guys do you have going to that trials right now that are qualified?
Well, we have six that we're looking at, and then we have former Hawkeyes Mako and Morningstar that are qualified. And we don't have Lofthouse qualified yet. We don't have Joey Slayton qualified yet, and we don't have Dan Dennis qualified yet. And they're going to be competing this weekend in that last chance qualifier. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do there too, and you know, we're going to get there. One thing I do want to say, you know, when you mentioned those practice planners are meant as a skeleton, and it's meant for, you know, for the coaches out there to brainstorm. They take that piece of paper, they take that practice planner, and then they brainstorm and come up with their own method of making that work within their system. And that's important to understand that. The other thing I want to say before we end is the NASCAR plug, you know, how they say the, Roush Racing, Snap-on, whatever, Ford, you know, Fusion. Well, what I want to say is Defense Soap, very strong product, very strong. We use it in our room, and it's in our showers every day, and it has cut us a huge break in the way of staph, ringworm, and, you know, the mat herpes as a preventative. It's been a major staple in our training regimen for recovery and taking care of our body and our hygiene. So that's important, and appreciations to them. And normally I don't do that, but it is a very, very strong product.
Yeah, thanks to Defense Soap for sponsoring these, and also Scott Casper and Takedown Radio and Post. And Terry, thanks for your time, and definitely will be in touch. And good luck this weekend with your guys qualifying.
All right. Hey, thank you, and we'll see you in Iowa City, Iowa. Get on iowacitytolondon.com and call the ticket office at the University of Iowa Athletic Ticket Office for tickets. Like you said, there's 10,000 tickets sold, but there's still 5,250 left.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you.